Old Testament reading for the second last Sunday of the church year is from Daniel chapter 7. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I look then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 3. Know this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be thus dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" You may be seated. No matter how many times we listen to this reading from Matthew, when we hear it every year on this second last Sunday of the church year, we always get a little uncomfortable. Because as good Lutherans, anything that remotely smells of a salvation by works, we wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Yet here in this reading today before us, Jesus shows us what our future will be. And so he calls us to listen and see what he teaches. So let's look at what Jesus is proclaiming. So the image before us on this penultimate Sunday of the church year is the last day. Our hymn of the day sings about this as well, our Schola Cantorum, sang an Advent hymn, which also talks about that in time. They did a nice job, but there's always that overlap. The end of the church year and the Advent season flow in and out of each other really well, and they overlap with a lot of their themes. But before us today is the scene of all people standing before Jesus on his throne, and he will separate all as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. There's a bit of a courtroom image, but it's something a little different than what we may think of in our American context when judgment is decided and rendered. In ancient Judaism, courts didn't always operate this way. One commentator writes, "Strictly speaking, these court scenes do not determine the guilt or innocence of the accused, since the parties typically enter already with labels such as sinners, righteous, elect, or enemies. So such a forensic determination of a status, this declaration of guilt or not guilty, it does not appear in early Jewish texts until the late first or early second centuries. Instead, forensic judgment publicly reveals and confirms the status of groups and individuals." So in other words, what he's saying, it was not uncommon for judgment already to have been determined, and then this would be made public for all to see and know in this setting. So a similar thing then occurs with this judgment on the final day. All is made public. There's nothing private about what's going on. The sheep are revealed to all as sheep, and the goats are revealed to all as goats. And then Jesus said, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" And so Jesus exhorts you to pay attention then to what's going on. He tells you exactly what will happen, and he's not hiding this coming judgment from you. And it's not some secret that you must discern and try to somehow figure out with some code. No, he lays before you the eternal comfort and reward for those who have done as he said. And likewise, he reveals the eternal wrath and agony for those who despised his word. And so just as his coming judgment is not hidden, it's not hidden why they are divided and why the sheep enter eternal joy and the goats enter eternal condemnation. The sheep served Christ. The goats did not. The sheep are commended for their good works. The goats are condemned for their failure. That's the plain sense of the text. It's what God's word says. Now, confronted with this fact, then, that works seem to be what jumps out as the difference, we're left scratching our heads and we're placed into a corner with no escape. And the law of God has a way of doing that, doesn't it? Every mouth every tongue are stopped. Yet we see, like so many things in the Bible or in theology in general, there's a tension in what Jesus says because we look at the whole of the Scriptures. We don't just take this passage in isolation. Rather, we take into account and view of and with the whole counsel of God, what God teaches us. So we look at other passages of Scripture, and we read it with this one in Matthew. And we know those passages well. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, lest no man should boast. Again, it is written, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 3, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. The list goes on. There's no shortage of these passages. There's no doubt what God teaches on this matter. Salvation is a gift received through faith, delivered through the means of grace. Martin Luther rediscovered this from the Scriptures in a key passage which set in motion the Reformation was the short passage Romans 1:17, which is quoted from the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. For in the righteousness of God it is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So the Bible teaches us about the righteousness which avails before God. The righteous don't live by their works, they live by faith. This is what the Scriptures teach, and what the Scriptures teach is also something. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Colossians 3, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance of your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Vera's middle name is for the Augsburg Confession. She gets uncomfortable when she hears about works. It really upsets her a lot. Romans 2 also teaches, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. You get the picture, right? Many passages. Think of the Epistle of James comes to mind as well. And it's with these passages and the others that the Athanasian Creed ends with this confession. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life. And those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. So, are we saved by grace alone through faith in Christ alone? Absolutely. So, does God reward us for our good works? Yes, he does. Both of those statements are true because the Bible teaches both of these things. And there's not a contradiction. So then let's go back to the gospel reading and listen closely to what Jesus says, but notice something else what he doesn't say. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. So Jesus clearly commends these sheep, the ones on his right, for their works, but what didn't he bring up? Well, listen to the rest of the reading. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal fire. So here Jesus does not hold the sin of the sheep against them, but he only recognizes their works. In Romans 4, God says, David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. So the sheep are covered in something. It's the righteousness of their shepherd. They are called as such in the text as well. They are righteous. He uses that word. And their lives are lived by faith. Because remember, the righteous shall live by faith. And the works that they do come as a fruit from the vine to whom they are attached to as the branches. The goats, however, stand condemned in their sin. Their lives are lived apart from faith. Their response to Jesus and the question they ask of Jesus is a telltale sign. Lord, when did we see you hungry? Or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or imprisoned, and did not minister to you. They're wanting to live their lives, or at least wanted to live their lives, with the expectation that they could be in control, they could do something for Jesus, had they known this was the case. So rather than a fruit of faith, they saw their works as the root, as the tree of their faith, and which they trusted as their foundation. And when confronted in their sin, the response is not to confess it, but to try and justify themselves. And in all of this, they think they are the victim who didn't know where they were to do these works and serve Jesus. All these works are directed at the neighbor. My doctor father uses the image of, you know, he says, that you picture this, that Thomas Aquinas is the kind of the chief theologian of Roman Catholicism. And he says, Thomas Aquinas and Martin Luther, they go both to stand up before the pearly gates, right? St. Peter's standing there and ask that classic question, why should I let you into my heaven? Into heaven? Thomas Aquinas pulls this bag over his, that's hung over his shoulder. He throws it there and says, here's all my works. Here's all of these things. Here's all that I've done. And Peter says, okay, all right. Now looks at Luther and what have you got? He said, I have nothing. I have only Christ. And that's what we see in terms of what the sheep and the goats are doing. The goats are trying to put themselves before. They're trying to ask this question of, well, I would have done this had I had known this. Whereas the sheep, they are doing these things, but what's their righteousness? The righteousness is nothing other than Jesus himself. So as you sit here and you think about all this today, and you know what your Lord says in his word before you, what do you know? Well, Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. And on his judgment, he divides people. That hymn of the day talks about the books are opened. It's the most German hymn, right? An account is truly given. Record keeping and all that stuff, that's good German Lutheran stuff, right? But when is this day? You don't know. But what you do know is the day is surely drawing near. Each breath you take inches closer and closer to that. So you look at yourself, you look at your sin, you look at your life, repent. Because when you persist in sin, you're rejecting the Lord's forgiveness. You're wanting Jesus to judge you by it. You're not living in faith, but living a life outside of the kingdom of God. And so the blood of Christ covers your sin. It puts it on him who has paid the price for it. But when you want to persist in it, when you want to cling to your sin, you're clinging to the very thing which will condemn you. So repent. And when faith is confronted by sin, it confesses it. It doesn't try to make excuses. It doesn't try to put the blame on God and be the victim. No, it answers God's judgment with, "You're right, Lord. I have sinned. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." So take all of that seriously as you hear this reading today and as you hear the reading next week as well about the 10 virgins and the immediacy of Jesus' coming and not knowing. Judgment is coming. But you see, here's the thing as you sit here as well right now. And as we heard last week in the epistle reading about the end times, that you encourage one another with these words. God tells you what he will say to you on the last day. And this word that he gives you keeps you and guards you in the faith, which is why it's eternally deadly to stop hearing it. Sheep hear and follow their shepherd. That's not complicated. So then what is that judgment? What do you know that God will say to you on the last day? This is the great comfort that you have. And as you hear these words and think about this thing, look and listen where you're at. You're sitting in this place. There's a baptismal font. It reminds you that God has what he has done for you in your baptism, where your sin was forgiven, where you were rescued from death and the devil and given eternal salvation. So what then will you hear when you stand before Jesus? You just heard it. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So how do you know this? You've already heard it, and you keep hearing it this morning. I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You will taste what God will say to you as you take into your mouth the body and blood of Christ given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. So you know what God will say to you on that final day because he is already saying it. He's already giving it. And your life then is hidden in Christ as you have been crucified with him. You are the righteous ones because Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection are counted to you through faith. See your life differently then as those who have been saved by grace through faith and prepared by God to do good works to your neighbor. And yes, God will reward you and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," to you on that day of judgment. Because when he looks at you, he doesn't look at your sin. Covered with Christ, all that he sees is the righteousness of Jesus. And your works then in this life are beautiful, they're luscious fruit produced through his word. You are who you are in Christ, and listen to his commandments, desire what he commands. Let his word be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And let his word show and instruct you the way through this life, which is a life lived in faith toward God and in love toward your neighbor. Put away all that is false and put on the new life that has been given to you in baptism. And take delight, too, as his sheep where God has placed you in this world. Do not spurn these callings, these vocations. First and foremost, you are a hearer of the word of God. For without God's word, you do not have Christ and his benefits. Then look at where you are in your families. Listen to the instruction, what God teaches you about what it means to be a Christian husband, a Christian father, grandfather, brother, sister, wife, neighbor, whatever. And finally, look at your neighbors around you, and even outside of your family. See where God has placed you to serve them and confess the faith as salt and light in the world. Do all these things intentionally as one who knows Christ, as one who knows what has been won for you and won for them. And so, dear Christians, dear sheep, look to and don't fear the future judgment because it is preached to you to now. You know what God will say to you on that final day. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And God will give you that commendation of well done, good and faithful servant, and you will inherit what has been won for you. And even as your sin is forgiven, and God gives you his gifts, baptized into him. So yes, thanks be to God for this image of the sheep and the goats. Thanks be to God that he comes again and we wait for that day with patience and yearning. Jesus has accomplished it for you, his sheep. He is the Son of Man who was promised, who has come, who comes now through his word and sacraments and comes again in glory on the last day. This is your God and you are his people. and his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom on that one that shall not be destroyed. And that's yours. It's yours now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.